Well, tomorrow we commemorate the 10th anniversary of the terrorist attacks of September 11th. By God's providence, this falls on a Sunday, and we just so happen to have what could be one of the most challenging teachings of Jesus for this circumstance. How often must I forgive? Peter asks Jesus. Not seven times, but 77 times, the teacher responds. Not as a numerical indication, but as a spiritual one. Seven is the perfect number in the Jewish imagination. Again and again. So Jesus calls his followers to forgive perfectly, over and over again. Now, to be honest, if we return our thoughts to that day, to September 11th, 2001, and we recall where we were, how we were feeling that morning, you just take a moment to remember how you experienced it. Maybe the shock, or the horror, or the fear. Given all that, forgiveness just seems out of the question, doesn't it? Now indeed, this event was so tremendous that Pope John Paul could not refrain from speaking about it on the following day in his general audience. And he said, "In the face of such unspeakable horror, we cannot but be deeply disturbed." He expressed indignant condemnation and said that the ways of violence will never lead to genuine solutions to humanity's problems. These events shook the human spirit. And they shake the human spirit and they make us wonder, as the Pope asked, how is it even possible to commit such acts of savage cruelty? But for John Paul, being the man of faith that he was, he had to seek the answer to that question in the one who gives meaning to all of history. And he said, "Faith comes to our aid at these times when words seem to fail. Christ's word is the only one that can give a response to the questions which trouble our spirit. The anger, the hatred of injustice, the sorrow, fear, all of these, the response of John Paul seems to teach us, are legitimate responses in the face of such an atrocity. But, however, if we were to respond with our own strength or with the wisdom of the world instead of with a Christ-like reaction, what would happen? The Pope is very clear about what humans are capable of in the face of such injustice when he says, "Let us beg the Lord that the spiral of hatred and violence will not prevail." Then he led the crowd gathered together at St. Peter's Square in a prayer service, which included petitions for the deceased, for the wounded, for the sorrowing, for the rescue workers. But he also prayed that the world, and especially the Christians in it, would react to this atrocity in a particular way. He prayed that the Church in the United States may foster the will for reconciliation, peace, and the building of the civilization of love. He prayed for Christians that in the midst of many persons who are tempted to hatred and doubt, they will be witnesses to the presence of God in history and the victory of Christ over death. John Paul prayed for the leaders of nations that they will not allow themselves to be guided by hatred and the spirit of retaliation. Now, we're not here to evaluate how we as a nation have responded to those horrible events of 9/11. But we can think about our own reactions. Have we reacted in faith? Have we trusted that God can somehow be present even in the worst of moments? Do we have confidence in Christ's victory over death? Because if not, we may find ourselves guided by hatred or by the spirit of retaliation, contributing by the rancor of our hearts to a civilization of death. In times of tribulation, greater courage is always called for. In the face of sin, in the face of evil, a choice is to be made. And what Jesus calls for is the courage. It's the daring. It's the choice to forgive. But let's not be fooled into thinking that doesn't involve the hatred of sin, or the anger at injustice, or the indignant condemnation of evil. No, Jesus modeled those things in His anger at the money changers who were defiling His Father's house, the temple. You see, anger and forgiveness, however, are not irreconcilable. In fact, we know that our hatred of evil is pure only if we can muster the strength to forgive. To understand how this is possible, we turn to this parable of Jesus. It's saying that we need to have the courage to forgive, just as the king forgives the debt of his servant, simply because he was moved with compassion. And I think this begins to make a lot more sense to us when we've been the recipient of the king's forgiveness, just as the parable shows us. When we know God's forgiveness in our own lives, it becomes obvious how illogical the spirit of retaliation and revenge and holding a grudge is. That's why everyone is so shocked at the servant's treatment of the one who owed him such a small amount. He had received the gift of great forgiveness, and yet he did not allow it to transform his life. So the task for us today is twofold. One is to ask the question whether we've truly sought the Lord's forgiveness in our own lives, which He offers us, especially in that sacrament of reconciliation. We know that God offers forgiveness to us no matter what we've done, as long as we ask Him for it. Whatever the greatest sin in our life might be, that thing that makes us feel like we owe a great debt to God, whether that's infidelity, or theft, or abortion, or violence, or not using the gifts the Lord has given us, whatever it is, God wants to forgive us. So our first task is to seek and to receive His love and His forgiveness. And the second task flows from that: to forgive others as we have been forgiven. How many times, as often as someone sins against us? Why do we do this? Because it frees us. It frees us from hatred and the spirit of retaliation. It preserves us from being ungrateful for the gifts of forgiveness that God has given us. It frees us from doubting that God is absent, that God is present from those darkest moments in the history of the world. We will not forget September 11th, 2001. We can't. And we don't tolerate an evil or injustice of this kind. But we can ask God for the courage to respond with faith and to contribute to a culture of life and love by forgiving from our hearts. We have, after all, a perfect example to follow. Jesus was the greatest of all innocent victims nailed to the cross. He was the recipient of the world's worst injustice. But He did not give up on the power of life within what appeared to be a story of death. He had the courage to bear His suffering in trusting confidence of the Father. Though He could not ignore the injustice against Him, He had the courage to utter a few words from His heart, words that resound over and over again to you and me perfectly: "Father, forgive them.